Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We welcome you to this Day After Thanksgiving edition. Today's broadcast is a special edition as we continue our look at the dozens of scripture passages that confirm our standing, our identity as children of God. Every day on Basic Gospel, you hear the Word of God revealing true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. That intersects with your life every day. Now, because this is a special edition, the phone lines are not open today. But this is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Here's the encouragement of Scripture, that we are to give thanks in all circumstances. And Paul goes on to say that this is the will of God concerning us in Christ Jesus. Do you want to know what the will of God is for you right now? Well, this verse explains it. It gives us a very direct, black and white answer for us to give thanks regardless of the circumstance that we're in. Well, how in the world do we do that? Well, we talked about that on yesterday's broadcast, and we want to continue looking at these 42 hope-filled truths that will overflow our hearts with thankfulness. That's how we do it, is by resting in truth. We may feel all sorts of things. Life may have hit us hard, and we may be hurting deeply, but that doesn't change any of the truth of the Word of God. God still loves us. God still cares for us. Jesus still died in our place to take away our sins. Jesus still was raised from the dead and has come to live inside of us, and He is there with us at this very moment. So there's so much that we can be thankful for. And as I said, regardless of what our circumstance is at this particular time. So we're going to continue looking at these 42 hope-filled truths, and we got through the first 15 yesterday. We've got a lot more to go today, but we're going to start with this one, the fact that we've been saved completely. Salvation isn't a temporary reprieve. It is a complete transformation, and once we've been saved, that's an eternal reality. And here's how the writer of Hebrews put it: therefore, He is able to save completely those who come to God through Him, because He always lives to intercede for them. So when Jesus saves, He saves completely. And because of that, there's this testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So do you have the Son? Do you have Jesus? Well, if you have Jesus, you have life, and that life can never be taken away from you. And He says this: I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That's true of you right now. If you have Christ, you have eternal life. And that's a truth worth being thankful over. That will burst through whatever circumstance you're in and produce thankfulness in that heart of yours. Because we've been saved completely, we've also died to the law. We're dead to the law of sin and death. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to Him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. So because we've died to the law, we now have been raised with Christ so that we belong to another. And because we belong to another, we can bear fruit for God. That's good news, isn't it? I think all of us are desperate for results in our Christian life. We want to see the fruit of being Christians. But we go about it the wrong way. Yes. We employ rules and regulations. We depend upon self-effort. We try harder. We, you know, get our bootstraps and try to pull ourselves up by those bootstraps. That's how we try to make ourselves better, but we can't do it. We fail. So for us to experience fruit and get to that point where we can bear fruit, we have to recognize we're dead to the law. This was a huge thing, was it, for you?
Oh, yeah. I spent a good portion of the first 30 years of my life, 35 years of my life, desperately trying to keep the law. And there were a couple of days when I may have actually gotten, you know, half of them. But, you know, when you have that kind of focus, it just wears you down. And the coolest thing about this is Jesus wasn't standing there going, Well, I told you, I told you, I told you. He was just standing there saying, are you done? Can I help? And when I was finally tired enough, he said, look, you've died to the law because you are alive in me. The lights came on.
Yeah, I think those words that he said to his disciples, you who are burdened and weary and weighed down, come to me. And I will give you my yoke. It's light and it's easy, and it all changes. That's when you've really died to the law and come alive to Christ Jesus. And in dying to the law, you've become an heir of this new covenant. We have a whole new way of life that's been laid out before us in this new covenant that Jesus ushered in through his death on the cross. There was the Mosaic covenant. Well, we've died to that. We've been set free from the law of sin and death. We've been raised to walk in the newness of life. Well, what is that newness of life? Well, it's this new covenant. So Paul wrote, so you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. You're an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And everything that God has is now yours. Well, all that he has, he's given to us through this new covenant. And it's a covenant in which God says, I will put my laws in your minds and write them on your hearts. I will be your God and you will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because you will all know me, from the least of you to the greatest. For I will forgive your wickedness, and I will remember your sins no more. That's good news.
Sure is.
That is just that right there. Encompasses everything that Christ has accomplished for us. And when we really contemplate the meaning of this and ask the Spirit of God to reveal the meaning of this new covenant to us, I guarantee you the first thing you're going to see in that heart of yours is this attitude of thanksgiving starting to emerge. And as you keep growing in your understanding of this new covenant, you will see that thankfulness starting to fill up every recess of that heart of yours, where it gets to the point that it just overflows. So as new covenant believers, heirs of this new covenant, we've also been translated out of darkness into light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Get that. He's not saying that, you can experience light. He simply says you are light in the Lord. Mm-hmm. What's the encouragement? Well, to walk as children of light. That's who you are. You've been baptized into Christ's body, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Boy, that's good news. We were a part of the world. We've been taken out of the world. We've been placed into Christ, and we've been joined with every other believer on this planet. We are all in this body together. We've been raised and seated with Christ. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So just as Christ was raised from the dead physically, we've been raised from the dead spiritually. Boy, that's good news. And then Paul goes on to say in Ephesians 2:6, and God has raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So where are we right now? Well, physically we're here on earth, but from God's perspective and in the spiritual realm, we're already seated with Christ Jesus in the heavenlies. That'll blow your mind on it, but it's truth, and it's truth to say thank you for. We've been hidden with Christ and God, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You know, it's kind of interesting, Richard and Bob, when you look at the gospel story, it begins with death.
Yes.
It begins with the death of Jesus Christ, then the burial of Jesus Christ. Well, what kind of good news is that? Well, before resurrection can occur, death had to occur. And that's why death in this instance is a good news story. Well, in the same way that Christ died and was raised again, we have died in him. And we've been raised, and now our life is hidden with Christ in God. We've been clothed with Christ, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So we see a lot of times in the Word of God this idea of taking off the old and putting on the new. Well, what's the old? Well, that's lostness, it's deadness, it's lawness, it's all of those sort of things. We take that old set of clothing off and we put on Christ. We put on the clothing of this new covenant. We've been sealed in Christ. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him. So salvation, it's a matter of hearing and believing. A lot of people have heard the gospel, but they've never combined that message with faith. But those who have believed in Him, those who have combined the message with faith, are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory. This is a huge verse about assurance of salvation.
Yeah, it was life-changing for me. There are so many of these verses that made such a difference in my life. But this one, I was one of those people who really didn't know there was such a thing as the Holy Spirit. And to realize that I had been given that Spirit, and that Spirit therefore sealed me for salvation. Wow. You know, Jesus does that for us. We don't do it for ourselves.
Absolutely. There's so many people out there, especially, you know, in our current political and economic and climate with all the trouble that's going on in the world, we're asking the question, are we in the end times? And then, you know, following that question is, well, what about the mark of the beast? And so many people are afraid they're going to be marked by the beast. But that can't be for those of us who are in Christ. And the reason is because we've already been marked out by God. Yep. We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. And I think, guys, it's very important to understand the transformation that takes place when we come to saving faith and receive life in Jesus Christ. Now we are called something new. We're called children of God. We have a new identity. And we, of course, have a new little booklet, a new and exciting little booklet on our identity. And Bob, tell our listeners all about that.
Well, it's a book. It's the first in a series that we're going to be producing under the heading, Do You Know? And this first one is, Do You Know Your Identity in Christ? And it contains these 42 hope-filled truths that will overflow your heart with thanksgiving. We want to put it in your hands. It's our gift to you. It's a wonderful resource. This is something that you will want to carry with you, maybe insert in your Bible, keep with you all times. You may want to hang it on your refrigerator and look at these verses on a day-to-day basis, or when you're in the pits, when life is tough, when life has gotten you down. This is something to remind you of all that you have and all that you are in Christ Jesus, and 40, we want to send it to you.
40-some-odd verses that you've compiled.
Yeah. Well, there's many more verses, but under 42 different headings.
Yeah. This is a killer thing to put on your mobile device.
Oh, yeah.
Just have it there with you. There'll be times when you'll need it.
Yeah, you can order it from basicgospel.net, and you can order it in download form or in hard copy form. So just simply go to basicgospel.net. You'll find the link right there on the homepage.
Yes, indeed. Well, moving on we're down to 25. We've been made righteous or justified in God's sight. For our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. That's quite an exchange.
Yep.
Jesus took our sins, and in exchange for those sins, He gave us His righteousness. So in giving us His righteousness, that means we've been justified. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And so if you want to know that your sins have been forgiven once and for all, this is proof that is true.
Yes.
God would have never declared you righteous, would have never justified you if your sins had not been dealt with once for all. When Jesus finished His work, when He cried out from the cross, "It is finished," that opened the door for God to declare us righteous. And that declaration is proof that all our sins have been taken away, forgiven once and for all.
Right.
We've been saved from the wrath of God. Since therefore we now have been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. We know there's a coming day of wrath. Yeah. We're saved from that. Why? Because we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit.
And you mentioned just a little bit ago about how people are worried about, is this the time of the end and all of that. This verse is one of the verses that tells you, you do not have to be afraid at the time of the end. There's no wrath of God for you because you are a child of God.
That's great news.
Yeah.
We've been made at peace with God. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Looking for peace? Well, the way to experience peace is to know that you are at peace with God. There's no more warring. You've put that aside. You've recognized that he's actually for you, not against you. You've been freed from condemnation. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is one of those power-packed truths. We live most of our lives under the shadow of guilt and shame and fear. I mean, that clouds every truth about God that there is. But when we see in Christ that there is no condemnation, that blows away all of those clouds, all of those shadows, and gives us clear view to the love of Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation for you who are in Christ Jesus. You've been sanctified. You've been set apart or made holy, and by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We keep trying to make ourselves holy. We keep trying to sanctify ourselves. We can't do that. Why? Because we've got this flesh in us, and this flesh has sin in us. And every time we give it a college try, every time we apply human effort to this Christian life, we go backwards.
Yeah.
We don't go forward. We miss the boat. That's why we have to rest in the fact that Jesus has already done something. He's already set us apart. He's already made us holy. And not only that, he's made us perfect, for by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified, or those who are holy. So not only have we been sanctified, made holy, we've been made perfect in the sight of God. Boy, talk about great news.
Yeah.
We're totally accepted. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Man, just think about that. You've been accepted by the God of this universe.
Yes.
That is huge. Yes. And that ties right back to what we talked about a few minutes ago, the fact that we've been justified or declared righteous, or have been given the righteousness of God. That's a statement by God to us saying, hey, I like you. I want to hang out with you. You're acceptable in my book. And boy, that is good news. I used to think of it, boy, a long time ago, that finally I got my picture up on God's refrigerator in heaven. and he thinks highly of me in the sense that he likes me.
He drags people in there to say, well, look, there's Bob. And
that's
there's
right.
Richard.
That's
and
right.
There's the other Bob. And,
or he's got this huge wallet and just out, you know, unfolds these billions of pictures. And I'm there. My picture's there.
Yeah.
And so is yours. Why? Because you're accepted in Christ Jesus. We're in fellowship with God. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Wow, that's huge. Oh, there's so many people out there who think that every time they sin, they're out of fellowship with God.
Right.
They know they haven't lost salvation, but there's something there. And if there's something there, they got to do something to remove it, to get back into fellowship. Well, not according to the Word of God. The Word of God tells us that we're in fellowship with Jesus Christ, and Jesus has brought that about. If we're in the fellowship, it means we're saved. That's good news. Rest in it. Thank the Lord for it. We have access to God according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Under the law, we didn't have access to God. When we were lost, when we were dead in sin, there was no access into God's presence. But when Jesus died, that curtain was torn from top to bottom, indicating the way into God's presence had been made available. And all of us can enter by faith, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, through faith in Jesus Christ, we can go boldly into his throne and receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. We have a new citizenship. Yes, we live here on planet Earth and we're citizens of various countries, but our real citizenship is in heaven. And it's from there that we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm a citizen of heaven, and so are you as a believer. We've been anchored by hope. I love that. What we need as humans, probably more than anything, is hope. And in Christ, we have that anchor for our souls. As the writer of Hebrews wrote, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We're free. Boy, all of us want freedom. Well, in Christ, we have that freedom. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed.
Indeed.
Galatians 5:1, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. We're free as believers in Christ, and in this freedom, we're victorious. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. 1 John 5 says this, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? We're victorious in Christ. We're a part of a new priesthood. In the old, it was just Levites that were set apart as priests to God. But in this new covenant, we're all priests. We're a royal priesthood, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are complete in Christ. So you are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. We have everything that we need for life and godliness. We have every spiritual blessing. And all of that is there so that we can know God as our Lord, as our Savior, as love itself. That's what eternal life is, knowing God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. That's what all this is for. Yeah. And what better thing to thank the Lord for than the privilege and the ability to know him personally as our God, as our Savior, as our best friend.
Absolutely. And friends, do you know your identity in Christ? Well, this is the little booklet we've produced for you. You can download it or order a hard copy at basicgospel.net. We hope you'll take advantage of it. All these scriptures are contained in that little booklet. We appreciate hearing from each one of you who have given over the months and many times the years to keep Basic Gospel on the air. You know, together we have a marvelous privilege to proclaim the love, grace, life, and light of the Lord Jesus, and together with you it's our hope to keep the good news coming. If you've supported Basic Gospel in the past, you are a terrific encouragement to all of us on the staff. If you've not had the opportunity to give in support of this ministry, we ask you to become a partner now. We need your most generous gift at this time to stay on the air proclaiming Jesus Christ. This program is helping you find answers, then we ask you to help by supporting the broadcast with your donations. You'll find a support link in the header at basicgospel.net. Or you can speak with our operator at 844-41-BASIC. That's 844-41-BASIC. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, this is Bob Davis inviting you to be with us again for another live edition of Basic Gospel.